in making its decisions. The government shouldn't do so with an eye toward helping one religious sect or another. It should be neutral. And it shouldn't muck about in the affairs of the religious realm.
Former Attorney General Bill Barr speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Their brand of secularism is really about destroying and subsuming the religious sphere altogether. And that's what I say. The threat today is not that religious people are out to establish a theocracy in the United States. It is that militant secularists are trying to establish an atheocracy.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Bill Barr making the case against the progressive assault on the U.S. Constitution from this year's Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Several years ago, David Dalyden began releasing on YouTube a series of videos. The videos were shocking. It was undercover footage of conversations with mostly Planned Parenthood employees, and not just some employee from some Planned Parenthood, but major bigwigs in the organization. And the subject of their conversation was the trafficking and sale of the tissues and body parts of aborted fetuses. And the things that they said did shock. Well, since those were released, David Dalyden has had a lot of legal worries. They continue, and it continues with a petition of the court to get all his videos back. Apparently, the stuff that he released on YouTube was just the tip of the iceberg. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Joining us for an update on the trial of the producer of the undercover Planned Parenthood videos, Madeline Osborne. She is managing editor of The Federalist, author of a column for The Federalist titled Ninth Circuit Hears Arguments for the Release of Sealed Undercover Footage Exposing Fetal Tissue Trafficking. Madeline, welcome back.
Hi, thank you so much.
Give us a brief history of David Dalyden's exposure of Planned Parenthood's trafficking in fetal tissue.
Sure thing. So David Dalyden founded the Center for Medical Progress, which began releasing a series of videos back in 2015, specifically about Planned Parenthood's abortion clinics. And his videos were a project that took several years to film. They were undercover, and he featured executives and staffers at Planned Parenthood and their business partners discussing and demonstrating human organ harvesting and fetal body part trade. So as you can imagine, some of those videos and conversations are quite graphic, and the project immediately went viral with millions of people seeing his videos, and his reporting ultimately led to the shutting down of several of those procurement companies that were obtaining fetal tissue, but obviously has not stopped some of their partners like Planned Parenthood.
So how much of Dalyden's undercover footage has the public actually seen?
It's hard to say because of how his video projects have kind of been edited down into documentary style, but I believe at least 200 hours. So there's 500 hours of footage that the injunction that we'll talk about covers. And I believe that at least 200 hours of those 500 hours have never been seen before.
Why did District Judge William Orrick refuse to allow this material to be seen?
District Judge William Orrick of San Francisco, he first issued this restraining order, this injunction blocking the release of the videos, because he argued that the safety of the abortion workers and the Planned Parenthood employees who were recorded in these videos, their safety took precedence over Dalyden's First Amendment rights as a journalist.
What do we need to know about Judge Orrick himself?
So Orrick is pretty compromised as far as his involvement in the abortion industry. He's an Obama-appointed judge. He's a major donor to a lot of Democrats like Obama. Him and his wife are also longtime donors to a San Francisco resource center that has been since turned into a Planned Parenthood clinic. And that clinic sold tissue to SimExpress, one of the for-profit tissue wholesalers that was exposed by Dalyden's reporting. So there's a lot of conflicting interests there. Oryk's wife is also an outspoken abortion advocate on social media, posting pro-abortion things and liking posts, calling Dalyden's videos domestic terrorism. So suffice it to say, he is not an impartial judge on abortion.
What's the argument in favor of allowing Dalyden to have his undercover footage back?
His lawyers in the hearing before the Ninth Circuit that we heard last week argued that obviously the First Amendment is the biggest issue here. If this was any other type of topic, undercover investigations into animal cruelty or an oil spill, something like that, this would be a no-brainer. California would not be prosecuting a journalist performing that kind of undercover activism. But because it's abortion and because Dalyden's videos show the horrors of abortion, that's kind of why this is like a First Amendment issue, right? Because all journalists should see how this is affecting their own First Amendment rights. So that's the number one argument, that these videos should not be blocked. His lawyers also argued that at a minimum, the injunction is just extremely overbroad, considering how much of the footage that's being blocked and how much of that footage was actually recorded in public settings. So a lot of his videos were recorded in hotel lobbies and restaurants, and you can see that in some of the videos that we've seen. So those are public places, and in some of the previous criminal cases against him, those charges have been dismissed because of that reason, because the court determined that there was no expectation of privacy in a lot of those recording locations.
So what issues are the three-judge panel considering in their decision?
So the three judges that heard arguments last week, when I watched the hearing, I thought that they really seemed most interested from both Dalyden's lawyers and from the National Abortion Federation's lawyers. They asked both of them questions about these non-disclosure and confidentiality agreements that Dalyden actually had to sign in order to attend the conferences where he recorded his videos. So obviously, he ultimately violated those NDAs and these confidentiality agreements. There was two of them. One he had to sign before he arrived at the conference, and then one he had to sign to get in. And so the judges, I think, are trying to figure out, is there a clear and compelling case that these two waivers that he signed, was he signing away his constitutional First Amendment right by signing those? And his lawyers are arguing that obviously no. When you sign a little waiver like that, you're not signing away your First Amendment rights.
What are the National Abortion Federation's arguments before this court?
So NAF is the one, National Abortion Federation is arguing that they're saying this is actually a very narrow ruling. It's not overbroad, and it's really not a big deal for these 500 hours to remain hidden. They're also arguing that of the two contracts breached, that the clear and convincing standard is met even by just signing one contract alone. They said that it makes very clear that an attendee cannot disclose to any third party any information that they learn by attending the conference. And so they're basically saying that Dalyden signed away his right to share any information.
Why has the abortion industry been so anxious to silence David Dalyden?
I think it's pretty obvious they have a lot on the line. We saw when these videos first came out that they immediately smeared it as a hoax. They said that the videos were doctored, basically tried to just smear Dalyden's work as completely false. And that's because it obviously exposes criminal activity, but more than that, I think it exposes something that is indefensible, right? Ever since Dobbs came down this summer, we've seen the pro-abortion movement leading with more obscure cases about 10-year-olds being raped. And so they try to muddy the waters with things like that. But with evidence from David's videos, you really can't defend chopping up and selling specific organs for profit. It's just indefensible. And I think that's why the abortion industry knows that. And so if they can do anything to keep more of those types of videos and conversations coming to the public, then they will stop at nothing.
To your knowledge, has Planned Parenthood and the various companies in the medical industry stopped trafficking in the bodies of aborted babies?
So Planned Parenthood was the source for a lot of the fetal tissue, and they would then turn around and give the fetal tissue to these procurement companies. One big one that has been shut down was called Stem Express. There's also ABR, Advanced Bioscience Resources. So those are two of the big players that have since been highlighted and shut down. Their work procuring tissue has been shut down. Obviously, Planned Parenthood is still actively performing abortions, and there are lots of coverage and stories coming out of where a lot of that tissue goes in places like Pittsburgh. We've seen a lot of controversy over the University of Pittsburgh obtaining tissue for quote-unquote research from Planned Parenthood clinics. So yes and no. We have seen some other companies obviously cease their for-profit work, but at the same time, we know that Planned Parenthood is still actively performing abortions, and we don't know where all that tissue always ends up.
Madeline Osborne is managing editor at The Federalist. She's author of a column for The Federalist titled Ninth Circuit Hears Arguments for the Release of Sealed Undercover Footage Exposing Fetal Tissue Trafficking. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Madeline, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease joins us on the other side. We're going to discuss 17th century Lutheran theologian, one of the bright lights of the era of Lutheran Orthodoxy, Johann Gerhard. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.